devotees are talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, trying to convince him to meet King Prataparudra, who is absolutely dying to meet Lord Chaitanya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, so he's saying, I do not meet kings. Sannyasi should not meet kings, because kings are full of wealth and opulence and such forth. So Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. He said, there is a way, he suggested, by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. Text 34. Eka bahi vasa yadi deha kripa kadi taha pana prana rake tomara ashadhadi. Translation. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outer garments to the king, the king would live hoping to see you sometime in the future. Srila Prabhupada's purport. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outer garments to the king... Sorry, I'm having a difficult morning. Purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was thus very tactfully suggesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give a piece of his old clothing to the king. Even though the king was not to meet the Lord, the king would then be pacified by receiving such a cloth. The king was very anxious to see the Lord, yet it was not possible for the Lord to see him. Just to resolve the situation, Nityananda Prabhu suggested that the Lord send an old piece of clothing. Thus the king would understand that the Lord was showing mercy to him. The king would then not do anything drastic like giving up his life or becoming a mendicant. It'd be nice to have the full-size version of the book, full class. Just a small point, why we have this small pocket edition for class. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a very beautiful and practical way to remember Krishna, is by having some item. You see, sometimes the devotees, they keep something from Vrindavan on their altar, like a little piece of wood or a little glass jar of dust. And so they remember Krishna. They remember everything to do with Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's abode, Krishna's qualities. So this process of remembrance is the prime process of Krishna consciousness, to remember Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, you always think of me. Srila Prabhupada used to quote one very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsukuntaya, I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon, I am sound in ether, ability in man. So Srila Prabhupada would say, quote this verse very much, and he would say, this is a very good way to remember Krishna. Said even if the drunkard, when he sips his wine or his alcohol, he can remember this taste is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is constantly reminding the whole world that the attractive principle in all things is Krishna. I have the taste of water. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. So you see, sometimes you see the fishermen, they're sitting. So what is the attractive principle of fishing? I think it's to sit by the water. The water is the attractive thing. They catch a fish maybe once every 2 hours or such. But they're enjoying Krishna, actually, in this form as water. Sound in ether. This is a very interesting point, that this material world is made of five gross elements. Ether is the first element. It's the first gross element. And ether, space, allows there to be sound. This feature that the material world has to have something, has to have two things. The first thing is the space, and the second thing is the sound. So without the space, there cannot be any sound. So this is a proof that the material world is just a fabricated creation. It's not ultimately real. Just like this body, sometimes I was at the airport the other day picking someone up, and these two young guys, they were in their young 20s, they came, one of them had one leg and the other had no legs. They had an artificial leg, obviously they said they'd been soldiers or something. So although he has no leg, he is still alive, he's still living. So this is a proof that he's not the body. Because if he was the body and his leg was missing, he'd be missing also. So you can understand we're not this body. And we can understand that this illusory energy, earth, fire, water, air, ether, these elements, gross elements, can be used in such a way as to remember Krishna. But usually in the material conception of life without knowledge, people are using these material elements to enjoy sense gratification. And this sense gratification, avidya, ignorance, means that they forget Krishna every moment. So the devotees are so intelligent, they utilize these same material elements to remember Krishna. So this temple is just made of material elements, but here the very intense remembrance of Krishna is occurring. Just like I wasn't very well this morning, I arrived late, but as soon as I came within earshot of the temple, you could hear the enthusiasm and the bhakti and the devotion coming from this beautiful temple room, and everyone here is getting so much wonderful benefit from this apparently material place has become totally spiritualized. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness, is to take everything and use it for the remembrance of Krishna, which is the prime aspect of devotional service. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service means constant remembrance of Krishna. Devotees used to ask Srila Prabhupada, what do I think of when I'm chanting Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada says that the devotee, as soon as he says Krishna, then he remembers his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode. I like that. Even we have special days for remembering Krishna. Who can say one of those days? Ekadasi. Yes. Very good. These are the two examples that Srila Rupa Goswami gives in Nectar of Instruction. Nectar of Devotion, sorry. Janmashtami and Ekadasi. We have these special days. So Janmashtami is like, you wake up from Mangalati and I've got to fast till midnight. Oh my gosh. It's like, what a daunting prospect. But it's a beautiful prospect that you can set aside everything, turn your phone off for the day, and chant Hare Krishna for 64 rounds in front of the deity all day, and get this intense remembrance of Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Bhakti yoga should ultimately be practiced intensely. When Akrura went into Vrindavan on his chariot, he saw the footprints of Krishna on the ground. Krishna's footprints are very unique. He has so many beautiful symbols on his feet. Kalmasaham, Chandraridam, Chandraridam Kalmasan, Trikona, Danasi, Kam, Gospadam, Swastika, Gospadam, the fish, the bow, the triangle. Triangle is a Trikona, and Konastakam is an eight-pointed star. So it's four triangles times two. Anyway, I'm not very good at arithmetic, but so these symbols on Krishna's feet, they're the lotus, the swastika, the conch shell, the chakra, the umbrella, the lightning bolt, this lightning bolt, Vrajanaba, he's an incarnation on earth. He's a lightning bolt on Krishna's foot. That's his eternal swarup. Akrura is seeing these symbols and became overwhelmed with remembrance of Krishna. So sometimes we also remember Krishna. Sometimes we remember Krishna spontaneously. I remember when I had an operation, when I was coming out of surgery, I was thinking of Krishna. And I was like, this is great. So Rupa Goswami says that sometimes a devotee remembers Krishna just suddenly. Huh? And this is as a result of practice. Just like a Jamil, he was chanting the name of his son, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. But for one moment, he remembered the real Lord Narayan. And this real Lord Narayan is the object of the goal of life. It says right at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says that if you remember Krishna at the time of death, then all of your sin is destroyed and you can attain your spiritual form. But people in Kali Yuga will not worship Krishna. This is a problem. So Krishna, he has his paraphernalia. Everything can remind us of Krishna. Devotees are very fond of cows. I remember this devotee, she was in Africa and she was stuck on the motorway. And there were so many cows. I mean, you can imagine Africa's a huge, giant country like America. It's like, she was saying, it's just like Vrindavan. So nice. She's in Africa and she's remembering Vrindavan. And she got hit by a truck and left her body at that moment. The friend was with her and she was just talking about Vrindavan and immediately. So there's no place or time or any time, any place. What is that? Niyama, nam namakari bahuda, nijasava shaktis, tatrapita, niyamata, smadane nakala. Anytime, any place. There used to be an advert in the 70s for this alcohol. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Same with Krishna. You remember Krishna. Whether you're here in the temple or you're working in some horrible job like a dog, then you remember Krishna. And your benefit is there. The remembrance of Krishna, it's actually very difficult to perfect it. The remembrance of Krishna destroys all sin at the root. But to perfect this remembrance is extremely difficult. Therefore, kirtanatu tato varam. Soon as there's the chanting of the holy name, soon as the lips touch the holy name of Krishna, then the remembrance of Krishna is possible. Therefore, the kirtan, the naam, is the supreme process. It's the best process of devotional service. And once there was a discussion between the Vedas and the residents of Jambudweep, what is better, the meditation or the chanting of the holy name? They were discussing. And the residents of Jambudweep, they're very fond of meditation. So they were glorifying this meditation, this smaranam. There's another place where they perform fire sacrifices, and when they do the fire sacrifice, the Lord personally appears in the flames of the fire and accepts the offering. But when the fire sacrifice is over, the Lord disappears and they feel lamentation or separation. So in this argument, the holy name, chanting of the holy name came out as the best process because it includes hearing and includes remembrance and activates the senses or engages the senses, especially in dancing and chanting. So in Krishna's Leela, the Brajbasis, the Krishna's eternal associates, they see Krishna everywhere. In everything. And they live in Vrindavan. So it's very easy for them. Because Tamalavanam, there's so many tamal trees. The tamal tree is like Krishna. Sometimes when Radharani is so intensely meditating on Krishna, so anxious, just like the king here, he's very anxious to see Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is just going to give him an old piece of cloth to save his life. The king is so full of anxiety. He's going to give up his kingdom, become a mendicant, or he's going to commit suicide if he can't see Lord Chaitanya. This much intensity is there. So sometimes Radharani, she sees a black tamal tree and she embraces it, thinking, Krishna, you're here. Such intense meditation. And when they see the bumblebees, you know the bumblebees? They're yellow and black. Just like Krishna, he's blackish and he wears a golden yellow dhoti. So their bumblebees are a impetus for remembering Krishna. Then what else? The cloud. The cloud is also blackish. One time a devotee, he saw a cloud and remembered Krishna. He became stunned and could not move. Krishna's peacock feathers and the peacock feathers, Krishna's buffalo horn, Krishna's conch shell, his flute, the tulsi plant, these are all impetuses for remembering Krishna. And his abode. You go to Mathura, you go to Vrindavan. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says that even if a materialist goes by curiosity or enters Vrindavan, the atmosphere is so nice that he will be able to remember Krishna. This is the power of Krishna's Dham. So, one time Lord Chaitanya got given this Govardhan Shila and this garland of conch shells, and he would wear the garland and rub the Shila, hold the Govardhan Shila in his hand, and he held on to these for 3 years. They were very, very dear to him. But when Raghunath Das Goswami had pleased him, then he gave these two items to Raghunath Das Goswami. And these two items give the inspiration to Raghunath Das Goswami that I am going to live by Govardhan Hill and do my service there. Then while Raghunath Das Goswami was living near Govardhan Hill, he was instructed by the Lord to resurrect Radha Kund and make it an eternal place of pilgrimage. And he was reluctant. He was just a mendicant chanting 64 rounds a day. But for Krishna's service, he arranged all of this building work to go on so that we can go today and visit Radha Kund. Everyone should go to Radha Kund at least once. Who's not been yet? Not been to Radha Kund? So look, so many of us have been. So you take that memory of Radha Kund, and then you can always think of Radha Kund and chant Hare Krishna and make some nice advancement in remembering Krishna. My guru's godbrother, he gave him a kavacha. And inside the kavacha was a little piece of the coping of Radha Raman. So sometimes the outfits for the deities, they're auctioned off or they're given as prasadam. I remember when I did my first Christmas marathon, they gave me an earring from Sita. And I still have that earring today. All that time. See, confirmed. Jai Sita Devi Ki Jai. So all these things can help us remember Krishna. And if we remember Krishna at the time of death, then we can go back to Godhead. We can give up the remembrance of those things separate from Krishna. Because this world is a place of forgetting Krishna. And our process of devotional service is a very nice process for remembering Krishna. And remembrance of Krishna, smartavya satatam Vishnu, it is the ultimate principle. It is the ultimate rule. There's only two rules: always remember Krishna and never forget him. And this remembrance, Tannama Krishna Charitadi Sukirtananu, will attract you more and more to Krishna. Directly, not indirectly. So this attraction will then, you'll be able to give up all your ignorance, all your attachments, and you'll ultimately fall in love with Krishna. This is process devotional service. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan and I was with this contact, and she had to go to this hospital in this really nasty place in Delhi. So I've been in the Dharm for weeks and weeks, and suddenly I was in this guest house room in this hospital, and it was run by this kind of Mayavadi group. And I hadn't, and it was suddenly, I felt so, suddenly I was out of the Dharm, and it was suddenly back in this horrible material world. And I just had one tiny little plastic picture of Krishna that someone had gave me, one of these cheap chintzy things that I would never have put on my house, you know, cheap 10 pice, 1 pice, whatever. But that picture then became the most valuable thing in the world for me. This, I've got a picture of Krishna here. So this world's such a horrible place. We should try to remember Krishna. So this is our movement, this is our society, this is our process, and I think I'll stop there. Maybe we could have some discussion, or someone wants to remind us of a pastime of Krishna, we can continue something, discussion.
Hello.
Yes, it's working.
Hello. Hello. Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, first of all, thank you for wonderful lecture.
Thank you.
My question is, like you mentioned during the lecture, which one is better, meditation or like chanting? So my question is related to it. Like, as we are aware, with the meditation, we can control our breathing and with the senses, on the senses as well. But I want to know how we can control our senses with the chanting, and what is the procedure of it?
Thank you. Yes. Tunde tandavani ratim vitanute tundavali labdaye kana krodha katambani gatayate kanav debya spriha cheta prangani sangani vijayate savendriyanim kritim no jane janita ki adbiyamrite krishneti vana dwayi. So Rupa Goswami says that when the two syllables Krishna enter the ear, they conquer the senses, they enter the chamber of the heart, and they dance in the courtyard of the heart, all the senses become inert, and the love for Krishna is awakened. So much nectar is there in these two syllables, it cannot be described fully. So at the beginning we chant with some inattentiveness or some offense, and then when we become attentive, we get a clearing stage. So there are many different levels on that clearing stage. As you become more attentive and you develop this humility and prayer and longing for Krishna, when the actual desire for Krishna's association, Krishna's mercy becomes very strong, then your chanting becomes very strong. Krishna says, Srila Prabhupada says, it should be like a child calling for its mother. So when your chanting becomes very like that, then your heart becomes more and more purified and more eager for Krishna. So this is the process. We are not trying only for controlling our senses or meditation on Krishna. Like yogis, they meditate on Krishna, but they don't develop this love for Krishna, so they're not so interested in that. They're more interested in their own liberation or becoming free from suffering. But we are not we are going beyond this stage. We want to serve Krishna. So if you want to serve me, you want to serve a king or a rich man, you have to be qualified. You see, you know, if you see our late queen, her servants were in themselves, they were ladies. They were very high position in society. Her personal servants. They're almost elevated aristocratic people. You understand? The queen has a lady-in-waiting. You know what lady-in-waiting means? She holds the handbag while the queen goes to the privy. This is her main business. She has to hold things if the queen needs to. So she's an aristocrat. She owns her own farmhouse, mansion, horses, millions of pounds of bank account. The husband, you know, is a lord or whatever. So to be Krishna's servant, you have to be qualified. And what is your qualification? You have to have this love. So this chanting goes beyond controlling the mind and senses, gives a nectar of love, bhakti rasamrita. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Bhakti ras, we want to have love for Krishna, want to be his servant. Hare Krishna. So this chanting will give this.
Thank you for class. It's interesting in Jiva Dharma, it's explained that the items of the sadhu, of sadhu vastu, they have spiritual potency.
Oh yeah.
So this is the cloth of Lord Chaitanya, or you mentioned the earring of Sita. They all have spiritual potency.
Yeah.
And are the clothes of Srila Prabhupada, some people have items as
yeah.
well, also spiritual.
That's excellent. Very good. Yes. So the samadhi of the sadhus, where they put the body that the sadhu used, this has so much spiritual potency. And you see the places where Srila Prabhupada put his lotus feet, just like Bhaktivedanta Manor, it has so much spiritual potency. When you take guests around the manor, new people, Srila Prabhupada's rooms, it's always the highlight. That's where they feel, oh, the atmosphere, the really spiritual atmosphere. Every time, practically every single time. Prabhupada's mercy is here. So in Vrindavan, you see there's so many samadhis, so many temples. The intensity of the Dharma. So this Bhaktivedanta Manor is a replica of Sri Vrindavan Dharma. Now, no matter how much potency is here, it can never match the potency of Boma Vrindavan. This is the original, where the original place is, the most potent. Where Krishna walked the dust. There's one place in Vrindavan, they have it cordoned off. It's a place of Braj Raj. It's the dust of Vrindavan. And they protect it so it can never be contaminated by, you know, the concrete or any other type of new soil coming from outside or whatever. So that is the original dust, and they wear it like this. So then they don't have to have tilak because they leave a gap in the middle, and it's the dust. So it's like a reverse tilak, yeah? So, and they worship that dust. So Lord Shiva says, tadiyanam, the highest thing is the worship of Vishnu. But even higher is those things in relation to Vishnu. So you can become perfect by worshipping one grain of dust from Vrindavan. If you worship that. in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says you can become perfect by paying obeisances to a blade of grass, provided you understand that that blade of grass, that Krishna is present inside. So, tadiyanam. Krishna's so... he's very difficult to approach, but you can approach the dust of Braj. When Akrura saw the footprints, he rolled in the dust. And sometimes you see devotees rolling in the dust. Actually, that is the proper way to worship Vrindavan, is through the dust. So the floor is considered very dirty, unclean. If a Brahmin touches the floor with his hand, he has to take bath. But in Vrindavan, that dust is so elevated. One grain of dust is more wonderful than all of Vaikuntha and all the opulence of millions of universes. So this is really nice. Thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna. Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I just wondered if you could... you gave this story of you were away from Vrindavan and only had this small picture of Krishna. Mm. But then we also understand we have the holy name. So how can we actually treasure the holy name? There's one, these affirmations by Mahatma Prabhu that the holy name is my greatest treasure. I wonder if you could perhaps speak on this idea of treasuring the holy name.
Well, it's just a matter of attentiveness and appreciation, not to become, when you become accustomed to something, complacent, yeah. So we have to fight complacency, because we're not so advanced, and then we may do something mechanically, actually. But every time we pay obeisances, every time we cut a piece of fruit to offer to Krishna, every time we put on tilak, putting on tilak, it's 12 names of Vishnu, you remember Vamana, you remember Sridhar, you remember Vishnu, Madhava, Govinda, Padmanabha. So it's a matter of engaging our consciousness. Devotee is very thoughtful. He's always appreciating every moment. He's trying to be in that consciousness. Nam Nama Kari Bahuda, always chanting the holy name. Sadahari, always humbly crying to Krishna every moment. So this is what we're trying to get to, is this absorption in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, that question is like, yeah, that's the whole process, to be fully Krishna conscious. So it's not something you can do so easily. So the best way to become Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and spread the glories of Sankirtan movement to others. Then you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Whereas if you just chant Hare Krishna and don't serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then you're missing out on a great deal of mercy. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. To establish the mission of Lord Chaitanya in this world is pleasing to the Lord Chaitanya. And then you get mercy to chant Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you so much. Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.